Welcome to the April 25th, 2021 episode of my podcast, Medicine in Action. I dedicate this to my friends and family in India today. In the last few weeks, I know we've had a major increase in the number of cases of the COVID pandemic. Our thoughts, prayers are with our families, friends. Hang in there, guys. I'm going to try to help with some of the common questions being asked about the management of the disease. The first and foremost, the most important thing I'll ask is to please consider getting the vaccine as soon as you can. Both the vaccines available are quite safe and effective. I would not wait and pick and choose. If you have it available and you don't have any other contraindications, please proceed with getting them. We've seen in the United States tremendous benefit from vaccination, and that's the only way we're going to overcome this terrible pandemic. Today, I want to focus more on the management general guidelines. Again, this is not a substitute for a consultation with your physician because each person is unique and nothing can take the place of a physician who knows you and can treat you on an individual basis, but general principles to help people know how to handle the disease would be the goal today. So whenever we see a COVID-19 patient, first we have to try and find out what category the disease falls under. And we divide it basically into a mild disease, which is just cold, fevers, stuffy nose, cough, without any significant shortness of breath or any low oxygen level. That will be considered a mild disease. Second category would be moderate. If the oxygen levels start to drop 90 to 93% and breathing is consistently more than 24 breaths a minute with breathing difficulty, that would be moderate disease. And a severe disease would be anyone breathing more than 30 times a minute, having severe shortness of breath and unable to maintain oxygen above 90. So if oxygen levels consistently are below 90. Now, a few words of caution. One pulse ox reading or one reading of below 90 is not enough. We have to document these are consistently there. This is at rest. This is not after you've had your hands immersed in something very cold, which can lower the reading, or that you've not been doing exertion before you check this. So please monitor it closely. Mild disease is what we would focus mainly on, and that most people are going to be treated at home with isolation. So home isolation is very important. To protect the other family members has to be strict. It means private room if possible, mask the person affected, and anybody who has to enter or exit the room should double mask, although avoid that, and strict hand hygiene. Although touch doesn't seem to be a very effective way of transmitting the virus, it's mainly airborne. And the main treatment for mild disease is symptomatic, which is hydration. So you have to remember to drink lots of fluids, take medicines to keep the fever down, which would be the equivalent here would be Tylenol, but I think the name brands there would be like Calipol or other ones. Cough medicine to suppress the cough, and multivitamin, definitely vitamin D has shown great benefits. So 5,000 units of vitamin D I would stay with. And stay in contact with a treating physician. Monitor your temperature and oxygen every day or several times a day. And if you start to develop difficulty breathing, or if the high fevers more than 101, 102 are going past 5-6 days, those are the times to be considered for contacting your physician and getting more help advice. Now, the data is very limited in terms of what else helps in this setting. There is some slim data that ivermectin, one of the medicines we use, may be of benefit. And if it's given, it's given as a 200 microgram per kilo dose for 3 days, and it should not be given in pregnant or lactating women. If some shortness of breath is happening or people have asthma or other problems, they may be given an inhaler or nebulizer with some steroids if there are symptoms of fever, cough beyond the 5 days. Now, people who have to be especially careful are people who are older than 60, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, chronic lung, kidney, liver disease, any previous strokes, or morbidly obese. These are people for high risk for mortality. So mainly the care of mild disease is symptomatic. We do not recommend, there is no role for plasma therapy, remdesivir, or any others, and a majority of the people should fall into this category. Now, if people are getting into a little bit more moderate illness, they're getting more shortness of breath, breathing more than 24 a minute, oxygen is dropping close to 90%, then they have to be likely monitored in a hospital setting. And those are the patients who will require oxygen. They will require proning. Proning is laying on your tummy, which we found helps the lungs and breathing. And also in those cases, we would definitely recommend steroids. And the commonest use of steroids was dexamethasone, which we given 1 milligram per kilo, generally twice a day, in two divided doses, basically, and can be given as a shot, IV, or as a pill. And those are the patients who also require blood thinners with low molecular weight heparin, which is a shot of like a medicine we call Lovenox or Fragmin in the United States. In the mild disease, there is no clear-cut data that blood thinners help. Baby aspirin may be used in select cases if there are no contraindications to bleeding. Now, in the moderate cases who are admitted, they will require a high-resolution CT. They will require CRP, D-dimer, blood checks, kidney function, liver functions every 48 hours or so. And if they're deteriorating, then interleukin-6 levels are to be done to see if there is need for tocilizumab, which is an anti-IL-6 therapy for more severe cases. Now, the more severe cases are ones going to be if the oxygen is below 90% consistently or they're breathing more than 30 a minute and they require ICU admission ideally, or at least a hospital admission. And they will require non-invasive positive pressure breathing. They may also require high flow oxygen if possible. Obviously, as a last resort, intubation if nothing else works and put on a ventilator. These are the patients we would be treating with high dose steroids, definitely on blood thinners and all the other things that we did for moderately severe disease. Now, these are the cases where we would consider remdesivir. Remdesivir could also be considered in moderate disease if clinically indicated. The data with remdesivir is somewhat controversial. It is not a slam dunk as a lot of people are thinking. It is beneficial possibly in moderate to severe disease. And people who are within 10 days of onset, they would generally do 200 milligrams on day one and then 100 milligrams once a day for the next 4 days. And it's not to be used in patients who are not on oxygen support or in home settings. The other thing that may be beneficial for people with severe disease is what I mentioned, the IL-6 inhibitor called tocilizumab. There's data now, we just had a study in New England Journal this past week showing clear benefit. And these are people who have raised inflammatory markers like CRP, IL-6 are raised. They're not improving despite steroids, and there's no active bacterial fungal infection. Now, in almost all cases, if the physician will cover you with another antibiotic like doxycycline, Zithromax, that's okay because there is secondary pneumonias that can develop. They're not necessary, but based on a case-by-case basis. Now, the convalescent plasma is somewhat controversial. There is some initial data that showed benefit, but it really only helps in early in the disease, within about 7 days, no use after 7 days, and if there's a high titer, that's the key. So if they have a tested plasma with a high titer, that may be beneficial in people who are moderate to severe disease. Then there is very commonly a drug being used in India called Fabiflu. The data with that is very slim. We have one small study which showed benefit, but there is a lot of controversy about it. So I would restrict that for more severe disease if that was needed. So these are the broad guidelines, but I think the things that everybody can do right now is, of course, strict isolation, follow parameters for social distancing completely, mask everywhere, double mask if possible, vaccinate yourself if possible, try to get outdoor fresh air if possible. That is a safe activity. We've shown that over and over again, outdoor walk is safe and fine if it's allowed. Sun is good, vitamin D is good. Maintaining good vascular health, trying to lose weight, maintaining good blood pressure and sugar control if you're diabetic or hypertensive is good. The better the inflammation level in the body, the better you're going to do with this. So I wish everybody the very best. I hope and pray that we all get through it safely. And I'm, of course, happy to answer any questions. But please remember that there is no substitute for having your personal physician who is caring for you one-on-one and can actively be involved in your care. Be well, be safe. Thank you.